As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Buy one, get one free on flavorful, fresh Tyson chicken during our full line sale. Then mix or match during our 99-cent sale and get Kraft mac and cheese, Campbell's soup, or Bar-S Franks for 99 cents each when you buy five or more, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey guys, I'm Lydia.
Hi, I'm Jesse.
And I'm Adam. Let's talk Hoya.
Hey guys, welcome.
Hola.
Back. Welcome back.
Welcome.
Hi, friends.
Back. We have some Hoya news today. In the world of Hoya.
Las noticias. Sorry, guys. I just got a chisme text.
Oh.
And it's a long one. And it's got pictures and videos and voice memos. So, for later. Anyway, las noticias.
Do you see how much she perked up when she had a chisme text?
Oh,
she was
gosh.
Like, now she's fully awake.
So by the time this episode goes out, I think this will already be done, but we will post on Instagram like beforehand in case you're going to be in Bogor, Indonesia, and you can attend.
And have a time machine. Again.
But there is going to be a talk, a panel done at the Bogor Botanical Garden on April 1st. And there's going to be a recording afterwards. So I'm hoping there'll be a way that we'll be able to find that link and share it with you guys if you guys are interested in listening to this. But there's some awesome people who are going to be talking at this botanical talk. Sri Rahayu, which we know is part of a lot of Hoya publications. Fraser Cook, who on Instagram, I don't remember his Instagram handle.
Botanical Otter.
Botanical Otter. He does like little like monthly snippet reels of Hoya information, stuff like that. Some cool stuff. So there's a lot of great people that are going to be there. And they're going to talk about sustainable practices for plant nurseries, plant methods, and trying to support more conservation.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. The nature superstar in me loves this.
Yeah, Jesse in high school who wanted to be a nature superstar.
Yep. Let's just buy a ticket and go, guys.
So
Domino's.
Tickets to Indonesia, which is what I was just looking up. Oh. I was like, oh, I wonder how much it costs to get to Indonesia.
Yeah, April 1st.
$2.
$2,000. There you go. Yeah.
And it's a 40-hour trip.
Sounds about right.
You would like shrivel up and die, wouldn't you, Adam?
Yeah. I'm just thinking about it. I'm just like, ooh.
Okay, but if anyone
turbulence
wants to,
is usually pretty bad.
If anyone wants to kidnap Adam, knock him on the head, drug him up real good, and ship him to Indonesia...
Yeah.
This is your invitation. Just make sure you feed him three times a day.
So we will hopefully find a link for that recording because I'm interested.
Yeah, I think it's going to be really, so. I mean, like we've said in the past episodes with all of the Hoya craze. I don't even know what to call it craze, but, you know, Indonesia finding all of these new Hoya species and and what that's led to as far as poaching and
yeah, but not even destroying. Hoya. Like when I was listening to a podcast by Maria with the Plant Daddies, and they were talking about what are those caudex plants? And when the Stephania erecta came out, there was a huge like poaching movement where they were all poached from like nature, especially the bigger specimens. So like all plants really, you know, cause some kind, you know, pose some kind of threat to nature, right? Mm-hmm. Like our collection, our hobbying has some kind of impact. Yeah. So I think they're going to talk about that conservation. What can plant nurseries do to be more sustainable? So I'm interested. So yeah, I'm excited for that.
Yeah, don't let me forget.
Okay. Okay. So yeah, so if we find April a link Fools. For that, we will go ahead and find that and post it onto our show notes for you guys.
Yay. Las noticias.
Now, in today's episode, we're going to talk about X-Men.
Dun, dun, dun. What's an X-Men song?
I don't know, but the X-Men dun, 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 are referred to as... Dun, dun, dun. That's Mission
definitely
Impossible.
Not X-Men.
I tried.
They're referred to as mutants. And so we are talking about
Hoya
mutations.
X-Men. Hoya mutations.
Hoya X-Men.
I literally thought our brains were linked and we were going to say that at the same time. That's cute.
So when we talk about Hoya mutation, if you guys didn't know, whenever you see splash or inner variegation, outer variegation, that is actually considered a mutation on the plant.
Yes. It is a derivative. Well, not derivative. It's a separate path from what the plant actually should be.
Yeah. Yeah. Apart from like the green form that you usually see it in. So, you know, for various reasons that happens, and we're going to kind of talk about everything that has to do with Hoya mutations that we know. So.
Which, again, none of us are botanists.
Yeah, I was like, so what I know is that the mitochondria is a powerhouse. In
that's pretty good.
You're welcome.
It is
over
the
and out. Jesse out.
But yeah, so we're going to primarily focus today on the, you know, more common mutations, which are splash, inner variegation, outer variegation that you see on plants. Yeah.
Yes.
And my funky peduncle.
Yes. And Jesse really wants to talk about her funky peduncle. So that's going to fit into this episode.
I'm dead.
Oh, Weezer's back.
Gosh.
She does.
Every time you laugh, Lydia, that's one less star. I hope you know that.
Oh, she really does want to. She wants to get that funky dunk out there.
Yeah. So tell us, Jesse. Tell us about, you know, what happened.
Yes. So for my faithful followers, my true fans who watch my stories.
The real ones.
My blurry, crooked-ass, twisty-tie stories when I ever...
In the middle of the night.
In the middle of the night. No natural light. Damn, anything else, guys? Go ahead, it's roast Jesse moment. Anyway.
Not focused.
Out of, like, literally, you could hand me the world's best camera, and I'd be like, I can mess this up real quick. Anyway. If you follow my stories, you have followed my journey of my peduncle that grew a peduncle. Literally, yeah. Like breaking news, Biden wrote a letter about it. It was amazing. And it bloomed, and then it had a peduncle, like where the Corolla Coronas go.
Yeah.
And bloomed again, except I missed that second bloom because I was out of town.
Oh, yeah.
Sad tear.
We do have pictures of this, though, don't we? We can post on.
They are on my personal Instagram. Perritos y Plants. And we will post whenever this episode comes out. That was a mutation of the peduncle. Kind of. Yeah. And that is my scientific.
Double the pleasure, double the fun.
Yes.
Wow. So mutation of the peduncle kind. Is yes. that the scientific name we're going with?
Yep.
Love Official. That.
But anyway, so Lydia, tell Official. Us more about regular mutations, common mutations.
Oh, gosh. So I feel like mutation wise, one of the popular, because we all know people are after that variegation. People are after that splash.
Oh, yes.
Yes.
And first of all, do you mm-hmm. consider splash variegation? Because I don't, but I know I that Jane Perrone kind of has mentioned it, calls it splash variegation. She doesn't even like referring to it as splash. I think she just calls it silver variegation.
Yeah.
But to me, variegation is like the whole leaf, all the cells.
Mm-hmm.
And splash is basically just an air pocket between the epidermis of the leaf
yes.
and the other cells. So it's an air pocket that presents as silver. But variegation isn't like that. You can't just scratch variegation off when you can scratch splash off.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know that.
You can scratch it off and then it'll come back.
So if you like use your fingernail, which I mean, again, it can ruin your leaf. So I'm not telling you guys to do this, but if you have a Hoya that has splash that you're like, I don't really care about this. Just take your fingernail and like push on it and you will see that it just disappears.
Oh, yeah. Interesting. I'm going to go home and scratch and sniff everything.
Yeah, I can see. I mean, because if you look on Google, it says variegation is the process of making something more diverse, but it says especially in coloration. And I think that's when I think variegation, I'm thinking color.
Yes.
And splash to me is not color. Splash to me more is like a leaf characteristic.
Mm-hmm.
Although variegation to me also is a leaf characteristic, but when I'm looking for variegation, I'm thinking of coloration, not just silver or, yeah. you know, so yeah. I do not, but some people do.
Yeah. I mean, to each their own too. That brings another point to think about is like a silver Hoya. That's not just like a solid splash, like that's actual color. So would that be considered variegation?
I have no idea. I don't.
I've never thought about it as variegation.
No, I haven't either.
Weird.
Yeah, to me, variegation is inner or outer variegation.
Not.
Like the white, the yellow,
yeah, the
sunstress is pink on some species cultivar. Yeah. That's usually what I'm thinking.
What is the color of cows called? The ones that are like black and white. Is there a name for that?
Moo-moo cows?
Yeah, moo-moo cows. Because I'm like, maybe that's what we call variegation. Because to me, that's what I think about when I
marbles?
Think about...
Marbles?
Spotted yeah. cow?
I don't know. The ones that are like, yeah.
Not crossed.
This is a Hoya podcast, but I'm just saying, to me, crossed that's what I think of.
Like farmology.
Like, yeah. If it was a splashed cow, it would be like, you know, all throughout, but the model type... There's black and there's white. There's not.
Yeah.
Holstein. Yeah, there's a whole bunch of cow names. Who knew? But yeah.
So welcome to Talking Cows.
Girl goes to Texas for one weekend and she just feels like she knows everything.
No. And the cows, they go moo.
I was just thinking about it in that, like, that term of, like, the amounts of color and how they're separated when it's variegated versus, like, if it's splashy, it's just, like, dotted on top, which it sounds like from this whole you can scratch it off process.
So the real question is the cow spotted just on the fur or on the skin too?
Oh.
That's the part of the episode I just got curious.
It is always weird to me though when you see cats that are, have like different colors and they're shaved and their skin is pigmented that same color.
Yeah, like Bo, he's brown freckled cow all over his skin.
A piebald or pied animal is one that has a pattern of unpigmented spots, white on a pigmented background of hair or scales. So the Holstein Friesian black and white dairy cow is the most popular.
What is happening?
I don't know.
All my exes live in Texas.
Anyway, that was a point in here. It didn't make it out here.
Holstein variegation.
Yep. Darn tootin'. Pause for laughter break.
Okay, I'm okay. Oh, that was great. I've always wanted a cow.
It's real scientific. I had a breakthrough.
Yeah, you did. No, it was fun.
Where were we?
If we consider variegation, splash of variegation.
And silver, oh yeah.
Oh yeah.
What?
So during this episode, when we talk about variegation, we'll be referring to the inner outer coloration that's on the foliage. But silver, we'll mention silver, and splash, which is the spots, the white spots on the leaf, we'll call splash.
The white silver.
For clarification for everybody.
Yeah. Okay.
That's what we'll be calling it.
So what causes mutations?
Yeah. So.
And tell us how to make them so we can have all of the famous plants.
So I can invent my own plants that I can price at like 2 kidneys and a liver.
So mutation is an interesting thing, but I think we should first talk about splash, because splash is basically an air bubble in the leaf of the plant.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so it's an air pocket between the epidermis, which is like the outer layer of the cell, the leaf, and the cells beneath, which I don't know. But anyway, I came across a Facebook group that Potamonte is, I'm guessing, started. But he is very active in there with like information and studies and stuff. And he called it aeromaculata, is what the splash, like scientific name. And then I Googled aeromaculata and I didn't find anything on Google. Like literally no, it returned just that Facebook group and that was it. So I'm like, well, is this really true? But
yeah, but it was translated from his native language. So I really wonder, you know,
what it was.
What? Yeah. But it was translated as aeromaculata mutation slash phenomenal.
So it does present itself as silver, which is kind of unique that just a little tiny air pocket that can't be that thick shows as like a very bright silver. But it happens to a lot of different plants, not just Hoya. It happens to, like, these air pockets can happen on crops. They can happen on peas. I saw a lot of studies done on peas and that kind of stuff.
Yeah. And the interesting thing about mutation is there's, like, so many different ways that it can happen, right? Mutation is, when you're talking about, like, the variegation for the color, is a genetic makeup of the plant. And like I've seen in, you know, I had talked about in our manifestation episode that I really want a random mutation on one of my plants, but there are collectors like people like April Mall from Unsolicited Plant Talks where they have a plant that's just green and then it puts out a vine and it's randomly mutated. It's randomly put out splash, or it's randomly put out inner variegation. It's randomly put out outer variegation. So sometimes that happens to collectors, but we also know, you know, people hand pollinate Hoya, or whenever you have seeds from Hoya, those seeds could also hold genetic makeup that could put out mutations. So you could have a seedling that's just green like the parents, but you could also randomly have one where it has outer inner variegation too.
Which those random mutations, which is I guess where all of these have come from, those are considered sport. Like in the botany world, that's considered a sport.
Yes, they're considered a sport. So the thing about a sport when it comes to splash or variegation is that it's not stable. So you could have a Hoya and it has splash on it. But one of the things that is good practice before, you know, you give it to somebody else or you sell it, is to take cuttings of that plant and see if that new vine that comes out continues on that mutation. Because a lot of plants don't.
Yeah.
They don't have that stability. And so because you're really are just playing like Russian roulette, it's considered a sport because you don't know how stable that mutation actually is.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I always called it Russian roulette.
What did I say?
Russian roulette.
It was so fancy. It was Russian roulette.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which, like you, Lydia, when you buy things that are, I guess, mutated, like something splashy or variegated, and your poor little plant doesn't give you a variegated or a mutated leaf, you chop, chop, because you think you can make it produce that similarly mutated DNA, right?
Yeah. So that's the other thing. If you have a plant that has no mutation, to encourage it to have mutation is like, I want to say like one in a million. Like, is it going to happen? Probably not. But that's why people buy a plant that already has the variegation or it has the splash. The hope is, you know, when you buy it for someone, they could tell you like, hey, like this is very stable. If it's very stable, like awesome. You know, even if you cut it, even if you buy a node that's not a top cutting, like you're going to continue to get that mutation. Mm-hmm. But a lot of plants, whatever you see on that plant, it's not stable. So you don't know what you're going to get. So I had, you know, that inner variegated obovata with splash from Adam, and I cut it back. And by the fifth time that I cut it, it gave me that inner variegation with a splash all over again.
Yeah.
And it continues, you know, and I'm happy with it, you know. So it's not considered stable. It would be considered like a sport, but you can still get it again. You can encourage for that to happen again.
Yeah, because I got a cutting of that same day, and then yours was giving you green leaves. You were chopping them off. And I was like, I'm just going to let it go. And it did give me like a good 5-6 leaves that were not mutated. And then it again started doing the mutation of the variegation with the splash on it. So interesting to see how the plants grow.
Yeah. But that's why genetics are important, because you can't just say like, oh, I have this plant and it has a little bit of splash, it has a little bit of variegation, and you're wanting to get like that Instagram picture perfect, like awesome variegation, awesome splash. Like if that plant doesn't come with that kind of genetic, like you might not get it. So along the lines of that, there is a Hoya A8074. And this has been a pain point for a lot of people.
Adam just rolled his eyeballs out of his head.
Yes, because there are a lot of different H074 out there with different kinds of genetics. You may buy H074 that has like half silver leaves that are beautiful, and then it puts out a vine and they're mostly all green because it's not stable. But there are some H074 out there, we don't really know like where origination, like where that really comes from, where they grew that out a little bit more stable. So then whenever that plant puts out new vines, it's actually giving you splashy silver leaves. Mm-hmm. So it's also important, you know, if you're spending the money instead of spending, I mean, you definitely could buy a plant that's cheaper that has less of that mutation and you still get something beautiful because you got lucky. But a lot of times if you get a plant with good genetics, then you're more likely to get that.
You know, that happened to me with the 074 where the splash wasn't super consistent and now it's all full green, but also with the China No ID. I bought one for like back when they were like $350. I bought one for $50 with like two speckles of silver on it. I still have not gotten full silver. So I did not hack the market on that.
That one is also not stable. Definitely a sport, because I have like three of those and it's about like 50-50. I'll cut it back and it'll give me a mostly green vine. I'll cut it back again and then it'll give me a full silver vine. So you really don't know what you're getting. But the original leaves on my plant have always had really, really great, great, like silver splash on it. So I know like the next time that I cut it, it gives me really beautiful leaves on that plant.
Hola, Hoya friends. So we launched our Patreon, aka Peduncle Pals. It's been a joy connecting more with all of you, chatting in our Facebook group, and sharing more behind the scenes through our exclusive Patreon episodes every month. We're blown away by your support, and we're so grateful for every one of you that is joining us on this club. You can subscribe through our Patreon link through our Instagram bio, episode descriptions, or show notes. See you there.
Looking to elevate your gardening game this season? Well, look no further than Coast of Maine, your go-to source for premium organic soils for over 28 years. Organic approved and sourced from oceans and farms, their full range of garden and lawn products are designed to restore roots to the natural world.
So picture this, you're struggling with lackluster soil just like I did last year, and your garden plans just aren't thriving. And that was until we discovered Coast of Maine. Their products infuse my soil with the healthy microbes and nutrients it was craving, resulting in vibrant outdoor plants that practically thanked me for the upgrade.
Omri listed and crafted from natural ingredients like lobster shells and fish bones, their products not only nourish your plants, but also your peace of mind.
Are you ready to take your garden to the next level? Coast of Maine believes in nurturing relationships with local retailers. That's why their products are carried by local retail partners who provide advice and insight, not just found in big box stores.
And Coast of Maine knows, from beginning to expert, anyone who takes a hand to the land has something to offer the growing community of gardeners everywhere.
Their products make organic gardening simple and approachable for everyone.
Let's get growing together.
Visit coastofmaine.com today. That's coastofmaine with an E.com. Wow.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think. My age, 0.74, acts a lot like my Asami clone 2, which the Asami clone 2 is stable, outer variegated.
Mm-hmm.
Outer variegated. But when you cut it, when it grows a new vine, it's the first leaves are like very prominently variegated.
Yes.
And that's the same way that my age 0.74 was when, like, you saw it earlier.
Mm-hmm.
Like the first two leaves that came out were full on silver, and now it's like putting up barely splashed green leaves.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Mm-hmm.
And it makes me sad, but also at the same time I'm like, well, I knew what I was getting when I did this.
Yeah, it is interesting. And I wanted to dabble just like briefly into some like nomenclature, just very 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 briefly. So there's a lot of like silver and variegated plants that we see that are actually wild cultivated. So they're from nature, from the wild, like the New Guinea ghost, wild, like they found it in nature with silver, like Louisa silver, exactly the same way.
Could you imagine just walking through the forest, like just skipping to grandmother's house with your basket of bread and all of a sudden in the corner of your eye, you just see this silver ass Pandorata?
Exactly. Exactly.
Wait, is that the one you said Pandorata?
No.
Oh,
New Guinea ghost.
NGG. Okay. Sorry. For some reason. In my head, I have Pandorata silver. Yeah,
the Nicholsonier New Guinea ghost, which is like full silver. And the thing when you write Hoya names, I didn't know this when I first started how important it is. Like every letter or every like period or quotation
that
is really important when you write Hoya names. And there's a lot of these plants that are from nature that are being put into single quotations, which usually notates that it's a cultivar, meaning that someone
made
that. They made that, like did a hand pollination or like they made that cultivar. But when they're from the wild, nobody made that. That's like nature made that happen. So there's a lot of like debate on like why is that in, you know, the single quotation when that was nature derived and it's not a true cultivar. So that's something that's still a little muddled and interesting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we will have an episode about nomenclature.
Yes. And
it will be so good.
Yep.
But
that's for another day. But yes. I just wanted to mention that.
I was going to ask, how are we supposed to write it if it is a random silver Pandorata that I found growing?
As you were skipping to grandmother's house?
As I was skipping to grandmother's house. And then my other comment was like, excuse me, God did that. So, but irrelevant now.
That's a great question. Well, we know that species basically is like that true plant. So no one like made any alterations to it. Like that's like a true form of that plant. So I don't know if you would write it as species or if you would write the character, like the name of the plant and then write the characteristic like in parentheses. Like I'm not 100% sure on that either. So it'll be interesting to see like when we talk more in depth into that, like what that becomes. But the single quotation usually is reserved for cultivar. And then you know someone made that plant. So then you know if you have that plant, you know, oh, this is a hybrid. Mm. So I know. It's an interesting thing, isn't it?
It is. So it is interesting.
But the other interesting thing is that, you know, people are also able to chemically induce these mutations. So that's another interesting thing. There's like speculation that maybe that's happening in some places. But I feel like one of the biggest dupes when plant like collecting first started and the pink princesses were a big thing. Remember those pink Congos came out?
Yeah. And that was chemically induced.
Yes.
But it reverted.
Mm-hmm. It only lasted so long, like after a certain time, it would fizzle out mm-hmm. of that plant.
So the ones that you say, like the Hoya that you're seeing that possibly could be chemically induced, that's staying around though. It's not fading.
They were able to like do something to alter the genetic makeup of the plant.
I'm reading an article now about variegation and like, and I was like, I wonder if I grow a Hoya under UV light.
Oh, and that's the other thing, environment, because there is a lot of debate on environment, because I feel like when we first got into plants, the big thing was give your plants more light and you'll get like, if you have a plant that already has splash or already has silver, already has variegation, like give it high light and that continues, you know? But then if you think about it, like how much does environment play into making sure that that mutation stays?
Yeah. I don't see, and I've always been skeptical of environment mm-hmm. because I've had Hoya in high light. I've had Hoya in low light. I've had the same plant do propagations in both. And I didn't see any results that would have been like, okay, well, this is exactly something that changes it. But that was just my experience. And it wasn't a very scientific experiment.
Yeah. Know? Yeah. And I think it depends on the plant because like Silver Dollar, if it doesn't get a lot of light, you end up getting leaves that are a little bit more mottled with green. Mm-hmm. And I prefer that look. So I pulled my plant away from the light and it continues to give me like those mottled green leaves. But then if you put it under high light, it gives you like those pure silver leaves.
Yeah.
So is sun stress a mutation or no?
No.
No, sun stress is not a mutation.
That's just the leaf trying to protect itself from too bright of light.
Mm.
And it's trying to preserve its cells from exploding.
Mm-hmm. But we're like, oh my gosh, that's so pretty.
Yeah. Yes.
And meanwhile, the plant's like, oh,
man. Ayudame.
You know that woman that tans and then there's a gif out there. She's like, I tan. But it was like, it was years ago, the tan lady that was like, she was just leathery. Oh, some people out there are going to remember it, but that's what your Hoya is doing.
Oh, I tan. Oh my gosh.
I'm going to have to Google that in the ancient textbooks of life.
But I have to say an interesting thing when it comes to environment. So I have this Mathilde with splash.
Yes. She's gorgeous. Mathilde with splash.
And I've had this for a couple of years now. So it's been through a couple seasons. And I noticed, you know, during the winter time, it was putting out these like full, beautiful silver leaves. Granted, there was still some green, but very, very silver. As the summer months progressed and it was getting warmer, I noticed that a lot of the silver was going away and all the strands were turning green again. And I was like, what the heck is going on? The silver is going away. And I had cut all of that back and I started, I don't know, I want to say like 50 new plants or something like that. And that was closer to when it was winter. And when the new growth came in and it was cold and it was winter time, those strands that were green gave me full silver leaves again.
Yeah. So you think it's a,
like a light like a temperature plus thing? Temperature thing, but mostly temperature, because I was reading, you know, this year, now there's a ton of people that have the Mathilde with splash. And there was a forum in one of the Facebook groups and they were talking about, you know, some people are like, oh, mine gets super high light and oh, mine gets super low light. But the same factor for all of us is now it's winter and everyone's getting silver leaves.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
Interesting.
Did you crack the code?
I mean, when it's cold, I definitely get silver leaves.
So everybody is in a place where winter equals cold?
Yeah, it was like a U.S. Okay. It was a U.S. Facebook group. Yeah.
And they were all seeing kind of the same results.
Yeah, like it's cold, it's winter, and look at like these full silver leaves that I'm getting. So, well, okay. Wait.
Let's not go that far.
See, I thought I hacked it, but no.
But it would be great to...
How would we do a test on that, though?
I mean, once summer rolls around and it's 110 degrees and the leaves don't come out as silver, then...
So you keep your house at 50 the whole summer.
I wish.
I'll keep my house at 102 and we'll see what happens with the Mathilde.
No, but I was not saying necessarily for the Mathilde, but like another plant that is to see if like we can...
Oh, but see, the thing is, I don't think that is for all plants.
Okay.
It really is like some plants are just more sensitive to temperature than others, you know?
Wow.
Which is crazy to think about.
Crazy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But the exciting thing, though, is like lately I've been seeing a lot of Hoya in the market that have like full silver or inner or outer variegation. Like, are there any that you guys have been seeing lately that's kind of different from like what's been out there usually?
Well, only ones that you send me.
I'm always dreaming and daydreaming about April's silver
Buntok.
Mitrata.
Yeah.
Formerly known as Buntok Silver.
Yeah.
Is now reclassified as Mitrata.
Yeah. I'm always thinking about that. And I'm like, that's a lovely mutation you've got there.
Yeah. But speaking of April, though, she, in our episode with her, she did mention that variegated serpents.
Yes, I did see that a few times.
Yes, the inner variegated serpents. There are a lot of Hoya right now coming out of, I believe it's China. And we don't know how those mutations are coming along.
Are they on the balloon?
But I think they may, like they somehow cracked the code to be able to like cause those mutations.
Oh,
I know. But there's somebody that I follow on one of the Facebook groups and they're from Vietnam. And a lot of these Hoya that I'm seeing where I'm like, oh my gosh, I need that. They're saying that they are wild found in Vietnam. Really? So one of like the top ones that I'm like, I would really like, but it's just super expensive is the inner variegated Crassipetiolata.
No.
And yeah, and they put that it was a wild mutation found in the Van Con forest of Con Hien commune, Binh Dinh province in Vietnam.
Whoa.
Like wild, like you're just like going through the forest.
Just to grandmother's house.
Yeah. And then you're like, wow, what a beautiful plant. And then it's like one node, $3,000.
See, but I want to crack the variegation code. I really want to crack it.
I'm about to crack.
I'm about to go buy a bunch of UV lights and we'll just see. Yeah, Bruce Banner the shit out of these Hoyas. Like, oh my gamma gosh. Radiation. I'm gonna take one to the dentist with me and I'll be like, when you take the x-rays, I'm just gonna put a Hoya leaf in there.
Oh my god.
Really though, because that unfortunately, like, I think a lot of people take advantage of, like, there's a bit of silver equals $300 more for this plant. If we crack the code, everyone can have silver for a dollar and an x-ray at the dentist.
Oh my gosh. I just have to say, Rick Morier, who lives in Florida, I believe, and he's like one of like a handful of people in the U.S. that can do hand pollination. But in his group, he's always writing memes.
Oh my gosh. And one of
the memes is like, huge magnifying glass. Like, where's the silver?
Where's the silver?
Yep.
Well, that brings me to something I want to talk about too, is because, you know, my baby, my Hoya obovata inner variegated with splash, you know, that one I've given to a lot of people. I've propped it a lot. Sometimes the props come out. We've talked about that earlier in this episode. They don't come out with splash. Some of them do. That was selling, or I actually did sell it for like a higher amount. Going back now, I wish I wouldn't have, but, there's a lot of people out there who sell plants because they received it as like with splash or splash, and it's not splashy at all. Like, it's not like, that's not a stable thing. So that's a descriptor, right? And that should be in the name in a parentheses. Like, and basically saying like, this has splash or this is silver, but like, you know, it's not part, that's not, there's not anything different from that plant than in a regular Hoya obovata variegated.
Yeah. But You can't, because just because it grew from that plant, if it doesn't have the descriptor, then it should no longer be part of the, it should be no longer part of it because it's not a description you can add to it because it's not part of that characteristic. So if, you know, you have, let's just say an inner variegated obovata, and it puts out a new vine with no variegation, and you cut that and you propagate it and you sell it as inner variegated obovata, that's not okay. Because just because it came from a plant that had inner variegation, it clearly didn't carry it out. So if you sell that and other people grow it out, it's probably not going to show again.
So it's now not like a last name.
Now you're selling a bad sport, yeah. You know? So okay. To sell a good sport, what you should do is if you have this plant, you cut it, it has the variegation and you sell it, then it has a higher likelihood that it's going to continue that variegation.
Yeah.
Really, like what people, you know, should do with the spore is as you cut the plants back, when you have a plant that, okay, it had the variegation, I cut it and then it grew variegation again, you keep that as a mother plant. Cut it and see if it continues and continues, because the more times that it exhibits that behavior and you cut it and you let that, you know, come out again, the more likely that it becomes stable over time.
Mm-hmm.
So,
boom, knowledge.
Bam.
But I think that is something that has bothered me in the past. And, you know, I fell victim to it while I was susceptible to it too, as like adding more money to things because the splash.
Okay, but you're talking like you charged an arm and a leg, which we were seeing at that time. Cuttings of that same Hoya going for like $250 something. And I'm pretty sure you were always selling them for like $50-$60. And then people were turning around and selling your cheap cuttings for more than you even sold it to them. So at some point, that's like, if we can get these mutations to be stable and everybody can have them, hopefully that won't happen. Because like you and I were seeing it on the market. Literally, they were like picking them up at your meetup and then selling it on Facebook Marketplace. And it's like, okay, guys, maybe at least wait like 3 months so maybe he forgets about it.
But you were selling plants that had the splash and had the variegation. Like, I think where it gets muddled is when you have a plant that's like all green and then you say, but comes from a variegated mother plant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then that plant is not going to exhibit what that mother exhibited because the cutting that you're giving that person doesn't have the qualities.
Yeah.
Or it's like super less likely that it's, it could, right? It could mutate.
But it's really hard to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, you know, if you're a seller, stop doing that. If you're a buyer, stop buying that.
Yeah. Yeah. Just, you know, if you really want that mutation, then spend a little more and get the one that exhibits it. And then from there, watch the new growth. And if it doesn't exhibit that mutation, cut it back. Cut it back to the last time that you saw that and then let it grow out again.
Yeah. But in my true Mexican form, I'm going to say... But at the end of the day, do what you want because it's your money, it's your time, baby.
It's your money, it's your time.
I'm no one to judge.
Oh, but it would truly be amazing to have a Hoya and for it to just randomly mutate because Home Jungle and Z from New Zealand had a polyneura that randomly mutated and put out a vine that's inner variegated. Mm-hmm. I've never seen this before. And they cut the entire vine down to one node each and decide to grow it out to see, is this mutation going to continue? Every single cutting, it has continued.
Dang.
Wow.
I know. And it's freaking gorgeous.
Do you remember when I thought I had a mutation with my Hoya lagenosa? Is it the mentawai?
Yes.
But I think it's a different name.
But wait, what happened to it?
Well, when it's given highlight, you can see it over there. You can see how it's like white leaves.
Chlorotic leaves.
When it's given high light, it puts out very white foliage, but
like
then
blush
but then it turns pink. Mm-hmm. So it was like cotton candy. It was like cotton candy pink leaves. And then they slowly will fade to green. But some of them had stayed outer variegated. Like, well, it's not outer variegated. The edges,
but it looked like it.
Looked like they were outer variegated. And I was like, Lydia, I think I have a mutation.
You were selling them for an arm and a leg. I'm just kidding.
But it is actually, I kind of like it. Like you can kind of see it there and how it looks like it's fading. But yeah, I really thought I had a mutation though. I was like getting really excited.
No,
Well, as someone who has had a mutation in her house, I hope it happens to you guys soon. Because my funky padunky.
Yeah. Well, I've had plenty of leaf mutations. I've had plenty of that kind of stuff. But, you know, that's not cool. That's not important.
Yeah.
But.
Crickets.
Oh, wait. I have a crickets. One last thing I did want to say.
Yeah.
Is I did have a peduncle on my Hoya obscura. Mm-hmm. And the peduncle was normal, and then it just put out one bud out of the side of the peduncle. Just one pedicel with one bloom, and that one bloom opened.
Wow.
The weirdest thing I've ever seen in my entire life. So you got a
funky dunky.
I got a funky dunk, too. My dunk awesome. Is funk.
I do not have any funkadunks.
One day, baby, one day.
One day.
But yeah, mutation is still something that's wild to me. And I mean, there's still a lot to understand and a lot to, you know, figure out. But that's just kind of a little bit of tidbit we wanted to share with y'all.
So just to summarize, do you think that there is a special recipe to get splash on your plant? Because, some, you know, you'll see that on these Facebook groups. You'll see that online. People will be like, oh, you can do this to get more splash. Do you think that that's a thing?
I think the important thing is that your plant has the genetics to put out splash. So if you want a plant with splash on it, I think it's important to buy a plant that has a lot of splash. Does that mean it's going to give you splash? Unless you ask the seller and they tell you this is stable, then you know it's a gamble. Mm-hmm. But it can happen because that plant has exhibited that before. So I'm all for genetics are important. If your plant has no splash, if it has one speck of splash and you give it highlight and this and that and this, I don't think that's the recipe for it. I think genetics are really important.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Same. Okay. All righty.
But if you guys have enjoyed this episode, I hope you tell us and what you guys think about, you know, mutation, especially if there's a Hoya where you're like, oh, I'm just like really, really enjoying this, or a mutation that maybe you hope to see one day that like just isn't out there. That would be fun. I know. But you can feel free to leave us a review on Apple if you would like to. And, you know, leave us some stars because that helps us out.
That does help us out a lot. And we really do appreciate and like reading those. And follow us on Instagram at let's.talkhoya.
And DM us with your mutations.
Yeah.
Of your Hoyas.
Even better yet, we'll give you our address and you can send us a cutting.
Wow. And you can check out our show notes.
On our bio.
But yeah, that's all over on Instagram. If you're not on Instagram, thegreenplantaz.com has a section for Let's Talk Hoya show notes, and you can find it there. And follow us on Instagram individually. My Instagram handle is at notdude.
I'm at thegreenplant.az.
And I'm at perritos y plants. Adios.
Anya.
Bye.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.